This is Lauren Hunt with another episode of the Guitar Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. This is episode number, what number is it? 18? Let's see. Episodes. Yes, it is episode number 18. As I'm recording on my MacBook Pro using Soundtrack Pro and the Mac's built-in microphone. For those of you new to the Guitar Podcast, I want you to know that what I talk about here is of my opinion and from my experience with guitars, amps, and effects, and so on. I have no sponsorship. I do this just because I like talking about guitars and amps and pedals and such. Please chime in with comments and questions and emails to info@theguitarpodcast.net. It'd be awesome if you joined the Facebook page, the Guitar Podcast Facebook page. I don't have a unique URL for it yet. If you go on Facebook, type in the Guitar Podcast, you'll see the same logo that's attached to the podcast and the guitarpodcast.net website. So I'm going to tell you that this week's episode might be a little shorter. I'm a little pressed for time, but I wanted to get one in while I could. You know, I haven't said this before, but I wanted to tell you all who are listening to the podcast, download it and tell your friends about it and so on, that I really appreciate it. When I look at the number of people who are listening or who are regular subscribers or downloading and so on, it really means a lot. It keeps me going. You know, I'm not getting paid to do this. I just do it because I want to. But it's that when I see that there are people actually listening, it reinforces the purpose of doing this. It makes me feel like, you know, hey, there's a reason I'm doing this. There's a reason people really want to hear it. So I just want to voice my appreciation to everybody who downloads it and listens and keeps on listening. I really, really appreciate it. So then, let's get on with the show. This week, I want to talk a little bit about building a pedal board. Just basically starting out, you know, just bare essentials for a guitar pedal board. So say we've got our nice amp, whether it's a vintage amp or a boutique amp or a manufactured amp that comes off of a large assembly line, whatever works for you. So you have your amp and you have a guitar you're happy with, but you want to start messing around with some pedals. Now, I would want to break it down to tone right off the bat, and that would be either a clean booster pedal or an overdrive pedal. So what you could start with there is say, you know, do you like the overdrive of your amp? Do you want to use that natural overdrive in your amp? Well, then I would say get a booster pedal to push it just that little bit more when you want to hit a lead or really want to stand out. When you want the guitar just needs to stand out for just a quick fill or something at the middle of a turnaround or whatever of a song. Now then, if you're running your amp somewhat clean, Or say you have a vintage amp and you're running it to where it's just on the verge of breaking up, where if you pick soft, it's what we call that sweet spot where you're picking really soft and it's clean, and you dig in a little more, it kind of dirties up and you really hit it and it kind of gets almost distorted. Well, if you put that booster pedal in front of it and really hit it, then it's getting into, you know, that distortion zone. Maybe not quite saturated distortion, but pretty good. So that's where I would want to go with that. Now then, if you're running it clean, either amp, if you're running them fairly clean or just a touch of hair, just a touch of hair on them to warm up the tone a little bit if it's clean, then a decent distortion pedal or overdrive would be good. Now, when you get into overdrive pedals and distortion pedals, you can spend a little bit of money, about $30 or so, for something like a Boss distortion that's a DS1, or the Bad Monkey, which is a really inexpensive pedal that is a really nice overdrive. Comparable to, say, like a Maxon OD808 or an Ibanez Tube Screamer, TS-808 or a TS-9, something like that, a really good overdrive. It's not, you know, it's not built with steel parts and everything. It may not endure as much as those other pedals will, but, you know, an entry-level pedal, that Bad Monkey will sound really, really good with most amps. So I would highly recommend it. And say you wanted to get more of a saturated overdrive, the DS1 runs about $30-$40, and it gets pretty distorted. The only thing is it kind of gets a little fizzy at times, and I would suggest pairing that with an EQ pedal to help it out a little bit, to round it out a little bit. But if you're not afraid to get into $100-$150 range, right in that ballpark, I really like the Full Tone OCD Obsessive Compulsive Drive pedal. It's really, really nice. It can be used as a clean boost. You can use it as a clean boost with a little bit of hair in it, or you can give it a good overdrive. You know, turn the distortion up and have a good overdrive. There's like a low peak and a high peak switch. That hasn't, you know, I think the low peak is more of a vintage tone. High peak gives a little more high end, and it can really start screaming. It's basically a distortion pedal at that point, especially when you turn the drive way up. That's pretty much one of my favorite overdrive pedals out there. Now they make the Full Tone Full Drive that has a built-in built-in clean boost, so you have a really nice overdrive and a nice clean boost all in one pedal. It doesn't take up a ton of space either, about the space of like two OCDs side by side, but without the cable going between it. It's a pretty nice little pedal. Seen a lot of people use that. So I mean, that's basically what I would do to start out with tone. Or say you don't really care about getting that boost or having an overdrive or a distortion. What you're getting from the amp is exactly what you want. Or say your amp has a built-in boost pedal or something, then I would highly suggest getting a delay. A delay can do a lot for you. Analog delays are really nice for slapbacks or for ambience. Instead of using a reverb, it gives a better extension of the note than a spring reverb, in my opinion. I don't like a whole lot of reverb. Actually, I don't run reverb at all. I only use distortion. I only use delay. And so I don't have an analog delay on my board, and I really would like to get one and get a nice one. There are several out there. And like I said before about gear, you know, go out there and play the stuff. Don't necessarily let the name tell you what to do. Let your ear tell you what to do. And of course, what you can afford to buy. I wouldn't overextend myself on something. But yeah, the analog delay is really nice, and I've seen several professional pedal boards where they'd have several different analog delays set at different cycles. And then of course there's a digital delay, which I would use for more of your U2 types, dotted eighth note phrasing, which is really super cool. Of course, you can use it as a slapback. You can use it as a decaying delay that acts kind of like a reverb-ish sound. And of course, some of them have modulation, which gives it a little bit of a chorusy effect. So I think a delay is a really fun pedal to play with. It could do a lot for your guitar sound. It can really enhance your current skills as well. Now then, I would say that if you're playing in a band or playing with a bass player and a drummer, and especially another guitar player, you really, really need to have a pedal that's a tuner. You need to have a tuner on your pedal board. I highly suggest the Boss Chromatic Tuner. They're kind of expensive. They're about $100 or more, right around that ballpark. But they really do the job. They do the job very well. I have one on my board, and I love it. And it's very accurate getting that on your board when you're ready to, you're playing in a band, when you have your tone set up and everything. When you're going to play in a band, you want to be in tune all the time. And of course, the bass player and the other guitar player, whoever else is there, needs to have a tuner too. Because if you're not in tune, it's just going to sound like garbage. You got to be in tune. You got to be in tune with yourself. You got to be in tune with the rest of the band. Now then, if you really want to start getting kind of crazy, well, I'm not saying it's crazy to have this pedal, but you'll find it a lot in blues and rock and metal. Don't know that I've heard it so much in country, but the wah pedal. Wah pedal is really, really neat because you can get these really high trebly sounds, these really bassy muted sounds, or this mid-range sweep is right where the sweet spot is, and that's where you would hear Eric Clapton play on his solos and on his leads for White Room, and a lot. And basically, I think he and Jimi Hendrix set the standard for where that sweet spot is that you play around with on a wah, and then people like Zakk Wylde and Jerry Cantrell really did a lot with the wah pedal. And of course, there are tons of different kinds of wah pedals out there. It's really easy to find a used, say, Jim Dunlop Crybaby wah on, say, like Craigslist or eBay fairly inexpensively. I'd say in the $20, $30 range without buying a brand new one. And that way, you know, you can get a hold of one fairly cheap, play around with it. If it's your thing, it's your thing. It's great. And then if it's not, you know, you're not out that much, and you could probably sell it for about that same amount of money. Now then, if it's your thing, then you'll start thinking, oh, wow, man, I'm not sure. This is really good, but it's not quite it. Then you can explore the, you know, dozens and dozens of other signature wah pedals that are out there. That, you know, it seems like every page you turn in, say, Musician's Friend would have a different artist's signature wah pedal. I think Zakk Wylde has one. I think Kirk Hammett has one. There's the Clyde. There's the Jimi Hendrix original wah pedal. I use an early 70s Crybaby. I like the sound of it. It's well broken in. I spent a good little bit of money on it because of its components, its original components. But I think to get the same sound and everything from a modern thing, you pretty much spend the same amount. You know, $150 in that ballpark. So, I mean, to get like a nice boutique one. And that's basically what I was looking for. And I like going for the original. That's why I went with that. I found that at a guitar show. And I was like, this is really cool. And I looked inside of it and saw what components it had. And saw it was the right stuff. So I got it. I rarely ever use it. But hey, I have it. And of course, I have a Crybaby wah sitting on a shelf that I would sell for $20. You know, and it's a nice pedal. I have it as a backup. But as little as I use the main one, do I really need the backup? Yeah, wife says no. But it's only $20, honey. Pretty good starter kit, I think, for a pedal board. You know, having your overdrive / boost pedal, whichever way you want to go with that, and either delay pedal, and of course your tuner, and a wah pedal. You'll get a lot of sounds out of that setup. If you want to see how far you can take a wah pedal, type in Tom Morello on YouTube and watch some of his instructional videos. Well, it's not instructional. It's just him showing you how he does his stuff. And it's really cool. And, you know, when I first heard him, I thought, man, that guy is using a bunch of effects. He's got to have a rack of effects that's just amazing. And he shows you his pedal board, and it's really amazingly simple. Just a few different pedals on there. He's running into a JCM 800 two channel. It's a clean channel and a overdrive channel, which, you know, I'm not a fan of. But hey, you know, who am I to say? Tom Morello's way better than me. So anyway, that's just an example. I would highly recommend you watching some of his stuff and what he does. I think it's Bulls on Parade when he does the record scratching, the DJ thing, on his guitar with a toggle switch. And it's kind of, he's using the toggle switch as like an on-off. And of course, he's using his left hand, just rubbing up and down on the strings to make that scratching sound. But to push that over the edge, he uses a wah, and he slams it all the way to the treble end. And because I've tried what he did without the wah, just kind of on my Les Paul, just toggling it. And scratching, and it just, like, you know, it's kind of doing it, but it didn't have that right tone. And I mean, when I've got some good gear, I should be able to get that right. But when I watched the video of him doing it, and he kicks on that wah pedal all the way up, makes a huge difference. It's all kinds of gnarly and trebly and scratchy and just nasty, and it works perfect. So anyway, that's just kind of a fun thing to do. Not that I would ever be on stage and start doing that, just because, you know, I'm not Tom Morello. I just don't think it would quite, I don't think I would quite pull it off the way he could, or he does, because he's a man. Anyway, I'm going to post a photo of my pedal board on the Facebook page, so check that out. I should be putting up other images and such on there, and some links about some of the pedals we've talked about here tonight. I hope you got a lot out of this. I hope this wasn't too short. I hope you dig it. With that, I'm going to wrap it up for today's episode of the Guitar Podcast. Please chime in with comments and questions to info@theguitarpodcast.net, and I'll either reply back with an email or on a future show. Please join us on the Facebook page, The Guitar Podcast on Facebook. And this is Lauren Hunt signing off for The Guitar Podcast.